arm of the Lord. How precious it is to know His arm is there. It's there for you. We're going to start in Luke chapter 1 this morning. Mary has just had the good news. She's rushed to see Elizabeth, her cousin. And John the Baptist, who was 6 months in Elizabeth's womb, left when Mary approached the same day of the conception because he felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then Mary begins to speak in Luke chapter 1. Let's pick it up with verse 46, a word of wisdom from our Father. And it reads, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord." Anybody that truly serves Him, you can always find it by that statement. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." She already knows and announces Savior, the Savior being in her womb at that time. 48, "For He hath regarded the low estate of this handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Call us all blessed because of Him. 49, "For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear or revere Him," better translated, "Him from generation to generation." Those that love Him, that follow Him and revere Him, He protects. That's what His strong arm is about. Some people live in fear for no reason at all. Where is their faith? I don't know. It's absent somewhere. They missed the boat. But you that love Him and know that arm is there for you. Verse 51, "He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." Our Father can't stand pride or people that are prideful. He won't put up with it. He won't tolerate it. And those that do not go according to His will and plan, they're marked, and certainly His strong arm sees that they do not affect. That's why God's elect don't have anything to worry about. If you truly trust Him and follow Him and use common sense in where you go and what you do, you've got nothing to worry about. God will take care of you. Do never be a doubter or a worrier. Use common sense. Watch your step. We're in the end times. And you must pay attention. You must pay close attention. His strong arm. Arm means power and strength. Okay. His power and strength is with you. And it doesn't get any better than with Him. Okay. And here Mary is sharing that with us in that verse 51. 52. "He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." The mighty that try to override, let's say Christianity, they're going nowhere. They're not going to gain anything other than God's ire and strong arm. If they want it, boy, they're going to get it. Okay. Verse 53, "He hath filled the hungry with good things." What is that? The truth. God's truth. "And the rich He hath sent empty away." When you get caught up in the ways of the world and trying to let it be your guide and your protector rather than Almighty God, you're going to lose everything. But when you have His truth, He has a way of knocking the big rocks out of the road for you. This is why that people that love our Father are blessed, because He sees to it. Okay. Now, at the same time, He picked some of you to give you a path that it'd be a little tough, but then He picks tough people for tough things. They can cut it. Why? They're children of God. He has shown them the way. His strong arm is with them, and He protects them. Verse 54, "He hath opened His servant Israel." Just a little help from Him goes a long, long way. "In remembrance of His mercy." 55, this is Mary still speaking. "As He spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." It's not something that ends. That truth and that blessing is always with you. If you believe. If you don't, sorry. you're probably a worry wart, and you're probably worried about what tomorrow brings and so forth, when you know he's sitting on the throne, and you know he's going to take care of business. Even in troubled times, you know, we have many things happening in this world today that people, we've never seen it this way before. Well, then straighten up and fly right, and you won't see it that way anymore. God will protect his own. But he's got a way of thumping gourds of nations and people until they see the light. Floods, fires, you name it. Poor Japan. I mean, they lost a bunch yesterday. Wake up and smell the coffee, and if you drink coffee, and know Father's on the throne. And he's not happy when they go exactly against his word, the very nations he chose, the people he chose, to go against, same-sex marriage. That is repulsive to our Father. I don't care whether you like it or not. He doesn't like it. And he will not tolerate it. That will bring him down. By that I mean he will touch some people. And so it is. Our Father's truth is always the same. I don't care what crowd you're with, don't change the truth. It's to help every crowd, to help every people, because through Abraham, all people are blessed, because in Mary's womb was that Savior who died on the cross ultimately and made it possible for you to repent and have your sins just washed away. Not remembered. God said, don't even bring it up to me anymore. It's gone. Well, that's the power of his arm and how precious it is. Now, go with me to St. John chapter 12. You'll all remember this chapter. I taught it not long ago at Passover, where 6 days before Passover and then five, the Lord's voice itself from heaven came down and said, it is time for the false one to be tossed out. That's not our subject today, but I wanted to familiarize yourself with the chapter. Just a few verses after that, we're going to pick it up in verse 35 to see what follows. And what does follow? Verse 35, Jesus has just explained to them that he must be crucified. And they said, well, wait a minute, crucified? What do you mean? We heard that Christ's reign is forever. Well, it is. But because of our shortcomings and because of our sins, he went through the crucifixion whereby we could have that forgiveness, and whereby, as it is written in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, he could destroy death, which is to say the devil. He wants to destroy him, and he's going to, and all that follow him. So let's pick it up, if we may, in verse 35, and it reads, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. I mean, if you don't have the truth, you're not going to know up from down or come here from Sikkim. Everything's going to be a jumble to you. But truth always magnifies the simplicity in which Christ teaches. 36, while ye have light, believe in the light that you may be the children of light. And are you? Of course you are when you believe him. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. He wanted to be alone from the multitude. 37, and though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. They just enjoyed the show, okay, so to speak. And the miracles were done for a purpose, to show the overall end-time message, if you would, in this particular chapter, of how God is going to reign supreme and how that light will always shine if you just draw the curtains of blindness back from your mind and look at his word. He was that living word. That word became flesh and walked among us. Verse 38. That the saying of Esaias, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? And of course, he's quoting Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1. And how beautiful it is, that arm of the Lord has always been there. If you have the truth, that's all you need, is the truth, that arm, and to do what is best with him, to respect him, love him, and follow him. And you're blessed. You're blessed above all people. He promised that. Those tribes that went north, the 10 that went over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Europe, many of them later coming to Canada and America, settling. And how precious it is to have the blessings of God with understanding. That arm is there. Verse 39, therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, why couldn't they believe? 40, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. It's just not going to happen. Why? They can't stand against the false Messiah. They would rather go with false teaching, false prophets, people that take manuscripts, hire critics that make a living destroying God's Word, trying to say they know something when they have no truth, and change that is truth and deceive many people. Christ won't have that. He is the light. Don't let darkness in. Always shut it out. Well, how can I tell? By studying his scripture. Don't take some man's word, this man or any other man. Do it yourself. And understand and pray for wisdom, and God will give it to you. 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. Would have been the best thing that ever happened to them. Okay. To be shut out of darkness and come into light. Okay. A house that calls itself a church and does not teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse is not a church. It's a business. And I think you all know what kind of business that is. Well, are you judging churches? No, I'm not. We have one judge. That's all that's necessary. Our Father and his strong arm. 43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. You can't have God's blessings if you're going to do what pleases men. You've got to do what pleases God. And if they're good people, it will please them also. But when you shut God out of the equation and just go with pleasing men, you're in trouble. You lost it. God's going to shut you away until you come to your senses and put God back on the throne where he belongs, and you under it. 44, and Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. What was his name again? Isaiah 7:14, Emmanuel. Well, what does Emmanuel being interpreted mean? God with us. He was God with us. 45, and he that seeth me, and he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. If you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. Why? Because he was. In the dimension whereby the Word became flesh and walked among us, for us, whereby we could learn. 46, I am come a light. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. He said, I am the vine, I am the light, I am that I am. And anyone that does not grasp that misses the boat. You can't halfway believe. You either believe or you don't, period. 47, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He is the Savior. We have a judge in the office of judges, Yahweh, the Heavenly Father, who sits on the throne. And this Savior was sent. But he's coming again. He speaks here of the first advent. The second advent is a different story. He does not come as a babe to be crucified. He comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. and he will take over and he will rule with a rod of iron. It would not be healthy, because then he will come to judge for the Father. 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, that's to say the truth, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the very word will judge you. The same shall judge him in the last day. And those end times are coming. That's what this chapter basically is about. 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. In other words, the living word. 50, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. In other words, it's the word of God. Hey, you know, it doesn't take a very bright person to know if God's on the throne, and this is his word that Christ was speaking, for it was Emmanuel, God with us, the light, then you're going to be blessed. You're going to be fine. I'm happy to say that we're an organization that never passes a plate, and I will not allow begging or nor allow a beggar on the place. That is to say, for religious reasons. Why? Because if you teach God's word as it should be taught, you don't have to beg. God did not send out beggars, and anytime you see someone begging, God didn't send them. They're frauds, and you can count on it. I'm not judging them. That's God's word. He said, don't take a purse, even. And then he said, don't take the scrip, which is a begging bag. And he meant it exactly. He cannot stand begging. That's why on our network, which I'm happy that God has given us, you will never see a telethon. Anytime a station pulls a telethon on our time, we pull the plug. We're gone, because we do not beg. You don't have to, my point being, you don't have to beg when you look to the throne. And when you do what he tells you to, when you follow him, you will be blessed. But not only will you be blessed, if you're one of his elect, the most important thing is that you're a blessing to your people. They can hear your voice. They know what you're saying. And you become a blessing to them. Never, you will never see one of God's elect prideful. You will see somebody that has compassion on those that cannot see now, and push that word to them, we're setting their table whereby they can participate in the very food of God's table, the Word of God. Okay, turn with me to the great book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. We're going to pick it up in verse 14. And verse 14 reads, of chapter 13, the great book of Acts. But when they departed from Perga, which is to say earthly, they came to Antioch and to Pisidia, which is Pitchy, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Now, they're just guests there, and they're sitting. And 15, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. I want you to note, first, they took care of business in the church. What did they do? They read the law and the scripture. Okay. It's necessary. If it's a gathering of our Heavenly Father, God's word will be read there. It's a commandment of old. It didn't mean all that much to some, and yet the commandment was there. What did old Paul do? Verse 16. Then Paul stood up, and he beckoned with his hand and said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. You that reverence our Heavenly Father, that's what this word translates, then listen up. I've got some news for you. Verse 17, the God of this people of Israel, this nation, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm, there's the arm of the Lord again, with a high arm brought he them out of it. Do you think our Father can't deliver? Do you understand that was for your exhortation, for your comfort, to know God delivers his own? He doesn't leave them hanging out. He's defeated Egypt once before, and he'll probably do it again. Okay. He will take care of his own. Verse 18, and about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. He fed them quail, fed them manna from heaven. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. It was their home. Verse 20, and after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet came. Through that time, good old Samuel, he's going to find David. 21, and afterward they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. That's always probation. And boy, was it probation under Saul. 22, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. What's testimony? The word. And said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And so it is. One more verse. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. In other words, again, that one Mary carried with the strong arm of God. Back in Luke chapter 1. Again, the strong arm of the Lord intercedes. And through the teachings of Paul, we see the delivery of the people in trying times. And, you know, this is why you never want to worry. This is why you don't want to be in distress. You're a child of Almighty God. You follow His Word as best you can. That's all He asks. The best you can. You put forth your best, he'll take care of the rest. And how precious it is to have one on the throne that is your own kin, your kinsman redeemer. And he lets you know how that he intended to bring forth this one through David. Do you understand what we just read? That's the key of David. Do you understand as it reads in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, that's the key of David that unlocks doors that no man can close on you and can close doors that no man can unlock? Meaning, you know who the true Christ is. You know who the Kenites are, the children of the evil one. And you know where the false Christ is going to appear. And you know what you must do, as it is written in Mark chapter 13. So why fear? This is an exciting, vivacious time to live. When you see the hand of God on the nations, thumping gourds and yet at the same time blessing. He sure has blessed us through all these troubles and hard times. And He continues blessing us. And we sure thank Him for that. May we do His will and may we do His service to keep those blessings coming. Turn now with me to the Old Testament. Let's go all the way back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 51. And Isaiah chapter 1. Chapter 51, verse 1, and it reads, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit which ye are digged. Do you go back to the quarry which from which your very being was taken from? And look at he that did the hewing. It was Almighty God. He created your soul exactly the way he wanted it. And even when he brought you into a flesh body, he made you different than anyone else. You're unique, unless you're a twin, of course. Unique to the extent that your DNA is different than any other person in the world. Your fingerprints are even different. God wanted somebody just like you. And he brought you from that quarry where he created all the souls for his children. That makes you family in the family of God. Verse 2, look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Why? Sarah was barren. But God had promised a seed. Naturally, it would be Christ ultimately. 3, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He's going to bless her. When you follow the word, when you follow the light, you're going to be blessed. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Do you think that's come to pass yet? No, it hasn't. But it's going to. And you're going to experience it as a servant of the living God. If you follow him, if you believe him, you're living in a vivacious time, an exciting time, when you see the events of God's hand upon this world. Verse 4, hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. What is rest in the Hebrew tongue? It's Sabbath. And what is God's Sabbath? Have you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 7? Christ became our Passover, our high Sabbath. He's talking about Christ. Verse 5, listen carefully. It's why we came here. My righteousness is near. I'm not far away from you when you need me. My salvation is gone forth. It's there for the taking. And mine arms shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me. And on mine arm, the arm of the Lord, shall they trust. You can trust that arm. It's with you. He's got your back. He's got your front. He has you on all sides. As long as you use common sense, respect him and follow him. Verse 6, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. Take it all in. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke. That's to say the eon of time, age. And the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever. And my righteousness shall not be abolished. There is a time coming at that seventh trump when every soul, the good, bad, and the ugly at the last trump are changed into spiritual bodies. Period. That's the end of this earth age, this eon of time. And you go into the millennium. That's what he's talking about here. The question is, where are you going to be? Verse 7, hearken unto me. This is your father saying, you listen to me. Ye that know righteousness, do you? Do you know what is right and what is wrong? The people in whose heart is my law. Let's just say this word. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. You don't have to. This is Enosh. It means mortal man. Okay, and how precious it is, not of the tribe of Adam, but when people give commands and orders, if it's against God's word, don't worry about it. Not when you're serving the living God and when you're doing what's right. God's not going to leave you out in the cold. He won't let you get any colder than what he knows you can handle, for he'll never overload your donkey. And you know, some donkeys can carry a lot and some can't carry so much. And God is a real judge of character. He knows what you can handle. And the tougher it is on you, he's probably saying, there's a tough cookie right there. I can use a man like that, or I can use a woman like that. Just right down my alley. They can take tough times and I don't hear them whimpering and bawling. They get with it. And that's the way our Father does. He doesn't leave us hanging out. Verse 8, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Why do you think the economy is like a bunch of moths eating their little pocketbooks? You know, around the world. Well, wonder why. Well, how about same-sex marriage as a starter? And how about our military? You know, this old Marine, maybe God picked a wrong man for a preacher, I don't know, or teacher. Because I don't believe in nonsense, okay? But if even the straddle trench in Israel was supposed to be dug outside the camp. And God forbid. But some of our military is going to get some gourds thumped. It's coming and you can count on it. It always has been. There's going to be the old moths are going to... He's not talking about moths here. He's talking about his hands, the tools, his arm. The way he's going to put things in order. And somebody's going to pay. Because some gourds are going to be thumped. You can count on it. It's happening even now. And so it is. Verse 9. Awake and awake. Put on strength. O arm of the Lord. There's our subject again. Awake. As in the ancient days, in the generations of old, art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Do you know who Rahab is? That's Egypt and Ishmael's children. The turbine people. And Taliban. You know what? Taliban is turbine. And our Father's not happy about it. He said he did it once before. And I don't have to tell you that the dragon, as it here, would be better translated crocodile. And you want to know who the crocodile is in this case? You can look in the closing chapter of the great book of Job. It's Satan. Okay. He said, I can handle both. And I will handle both. So, again, well, what are you worried about? Why do you lose sleep? You don't have to. Your Father, the very quarry from which your body was created, your soul, let me say, was created. This is your Father. He says, hey, I can cut it. I did it once before to prove to you that I will protect you. And our people today will shake like a leaf in the wind. Many of them that do not have the truth. That's sad. When they're on such firm footing, they're on the proper rock. And that rock is, of course, Almighty God. So he knows how to take care of the dragon, that is to say, Satan. He knows how to take care of our enemies, those that would come against us, with lies. Calling God's own infidels. And so it is. God takes care of business. You don't have to worry about it. Verse 10. Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Didn't you do that? Why would people worry? You're the one that did that, aren't you? And naturally the answer is yes. Verse 11, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing into Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy and sorrow after mourning shall flee away. And there you have it, the arm of the Lord. and the precious leading of Almighty God. That arm of the Lord is for you. He's got your back. He's got your front. He's got it around all sides. And do you know something? One of the reasons you read the Word is to find out what He's done for us in the past, to strengthen your faith, to know what He will do for us in the future. All you have to do is read the book. This is why Jesus, when He was asked when He would walk, His answer was, haven't you read it? I could be a little more impatient than He was. I could say, fools haven't read, have you? What did you do? Put the Word on the shelf and listen to some man and the traditions of men who judge not by God but by precedent? Even the law of our land is being changed to words by precedent. In other words, instead of what God's law says, it's what this judge said or that judge said or what some preacher said here or some preacher said there. When it's in the book, all you have to do is read it. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for Your Word. Thank You for Your strong arm, Father, and thank You for that quarry from which all Your children came, Father. You being that Father that loves His children, protects them, and takes care of them. We thank You in the name of Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
The mark of the beast on